At this time, we'll have the first of our testimonies today, and I want to invite Sheriff Stanley Clark to come and share the word that God has laid on his heart for us this morning.
The first story I want to start out with, it was on a Sunday afternoon. I had the urge to go to my office for some reason, no real reason. So I got in the car and I went down there and I'm like, okay, I'm here. What am I supposed to be doing? So I looked at my police car and I said, well, that's a little dirty. I'll wash it. So while I'm behind the office, this man comes walking up from somewhere out the alley or whatever. I knew him. And he approached me. He said, I need some help. I said, what's the problem? He says, I'm addicted to cocaine and I'm tired of it. And I need some help. I said, okay. So I brought him in my office, and I said, it's a Sunday afternoon. Where am I going to find somebody to help this man? Because, you know, people don't want to go to church halftime on Sunday, much less do some work. So I got on the phone and made some calls. And while I was waiting, he told me, he said, you know, I'm tired of watching the crack man sit on the side of the road every Friday, wait for me to get paid to get my money. Now, this gentleman was in the logging industry. So can you imagine somebody using drugs out in the woods, handling a power saw and all this kind of stuff? And he says, every Friday he pulls up and waits for me to get paid, and I give him my money. He said, I'm tired. So I was able to get him in a program. I believe it was down in Norfolk or Newport News at the time. But the catch was he had to take himself there. So I'm like, now, how is that going to work? So he had transportation, but he said, I got one problem. I said, what is that? I don't have any gas. So I got him some gas, and I said, look, when you get there, let me know that you're there. So he did, and through the time he was there, he would call and report to me, you know, how he was doing, and he was able to get himself back on track, and he remained drug-free, to my knowledge, until he died some years later. Here, again, in our court system, I see a lot of people come through. At times, I have anywhere from 6 to 12 people in custody at a time, most of them drug-related stuff. And this lady incarcerated walked past me, called me by name. Didn't recognize her. So I asked one of my employees, who is that? He said, you should know her. She was a classmate of yours in high school. And I'm like, so I went home, got my yearbook. There she was. Drugs that ate her up that bad, I didn't recognize her. And that's the effect some of it has on people. We had another young lady come in. I think she was addicted to heroin or meth. After several days of being incarcerated, she still couldn't walk straight. It was almost like she was stumbling. So we had to deal with her over a period of months, tried her in different programs. She wasn't having it. So the judge decided just to keep her alive. Because he told her, if you got out on the street, you would probably die. And she had the burning desire to get out. Had another young man recently, so on probation, done everything he was asked to do, report to his probation officer, everything, just couldn't kick drugs. You know, he said, I just can't do it. So he had to be held, as the judge put it, not to punish him, but to help him. So at least if he's inside, he's not getting access to drugs. Yes, it's an expense for us to house him there, but it's done just to help him. A lot of times my folks go out on calls and they come back and tell me things, and got a call from a family member about a young lady that was acting up. She was hooked on this spice stuff you've been hearing about, which is just as bad as any of the other stuff. And my deputy said, well, you know what she was doing? I said, what was that? She was tearing pages out of the Bible to smoke her drugs. So you know when somebody does that, you know, they are pretty bad. There was a lady in the ER one day. I went up there when I walked in, not because of her, but I was just up there for some other reason. I noticed she had a house coat or a bathrobe on, which kind of drew my attention. And she was walking around holding her side, going back and forth, back and forth. So finally, the doctor came in and talked to her. And he said, well, you know the medicine I gave you should have took care of your problem. She said, no, it didn't. He said, yeah, it should have took care of it within a day or two. She says, well, are you calling me a liar? He says, first he said no. Then he paused. He said, well, yeah, I am. And I'm not going to lose my license because of you. So she was there what some people call doctor shopping, you know, looking for pain medicine. We had another lady, we had this bad snowstorm, well, I guess it was last winter, I guess, where nobody could go anywhere. Well, prior to the storm, she went into the emergency room. She's addicted to pain medicine. She stayed here about 25 minutes, and she left. Well, that's when the storm hit shortly after she left. So her family was concerned. They hadn't heard from her, couldn't find her. And I'm thinking, you know, we're going to find this lady frozen out here in the snow somewhere, you know. So this went on for a few days, and we learned that she was on Medicaid. And we were able to track her movements based on that. And she had hit just about every hospital in the Richmond area looking for pain medicine. So that's how bad it gets. So, you know, if you see somebody in trouble, if you see something, say something. You may not be able to help them yourself, but you can call someone else who can. You can call me or talk to your pastor or somebody to get these folks help. And they have to want it for it to work. You know, some of these examples I've given you, these folks don't want it, so it's not working. But they have to deep down want this treatment for it to work. Thank you for your time and for your invitation today. Thank you.
In just a second, I'll invite Dr. Booker to come and share what God has laid on his heart. Some of us may be wondering, why does the church focus on issues like what we're focusing on today? And I believe that the answer to that question is very simple, and you'll hear Dr. Booker give his heart in just a minute. But at the root of a lot of the dysfunction that we have in our society and in our families, and even in our own personal lives, we all have hurts and hang-ups and habits of one form or another. We just do. And that's a spiritual issue at its core. No amount of education and prevention and all that is good stuff. Don't hear me knock any of it. But at the root, it's a spiritual issue to me. And I believe that if we're truly called to live as a people who are free and know freedom in Christ, what does it mean when we say that? Not just freedom from sin and the guilt that comes with it, freedom from these things that are in our lives that have the ability to destroy our relationships and our families and our home life. Freedom from all of these things. Did you know that in the United States, in our country, we consume 80% of all the pain medication in the world? 80%. We don't have 80% of the world's population. We do in some ways. It's arguable whether or not we have the best healthcare system in the world. Why do we consume 80% of the meds in the world? What are we trying to escape from? I would suggest it's more than simply physical pain. There's something deeply emotional and something deeply spiritual about these issues in our culture. And so with that said, I want to invite Dr. Booker to come and share what God has laid on his heart today.
Put up on the screens for you to follow. If you can read it, you're better off than most people. And you don't have to see an ophthalmologist. But if you can't, I'll try to carry you through it. One of these days, I might even actually have somebody draw it up other than some person who doesn't really know how to draw. At the start of my medical practice, that was eons ago, I don't want to embarrass anybody who's older than 80, but at that time, our drug addiction was alcoholism. And that was the one which we spent most of our time dealing with. And the only thing that we really had to deal with that was Alcoholics Anonymous. And they had done a good job because they started the 12-step program. But those of us who dealt with alcoholics, realized that there was a continuing cycle. People would go be drug-free, and then they'd go on the wagon. And it just kept going and going. And a number of us sort of thought, well, maybe we have something in Christianity that could help. And as the drug addiction grew in our society, in which it's really very prevalent right now, 80% of the pain medication is prescribed by the United States or used by them. Well, that leads it to the problem. Well, I've based my points here on Matthew 17, 14 through 20. And I'll try to lead you through this. I'll just show you here. It starts on the left. And Jesus and the disciples were on the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, and that was a pretty heady experience for them. Peter was going to build all sorts of things. And the Lord said, no, don't do that. But they all came back down to the world, and they ran into a demon-possessed boy brought by his father. And he said, this guy is really sick. He has seizures. He throws himself in the river, and we have to pull him out so he doesn't drown. He throws himself in the fire. It's really terrible. And I've brought him to the disciples here, and I heard that they could help him, and they didn't do that. So they came to Jesus right here. Now, this isn't a depiction of Jesus. This is for the little later on here, but it's in red because this is what Jesus did. Jesus spoke to the demon, and he was cured, and he was a well person. And disciple says, why couldn't we do that? He said, well, you didn't have the faith of just a small faith like a mustard seed buried in your heart. And with prayer and fasting, you can tell these mountains to go off and jump in the sea if you want to. Well, it didn't take me too long to realize that, you know, much as I pray about these mountains, I haven't seen them. You know, I could tell the Appalachian Mountain, go in the sea, that didn't work. The Rockies don't work. I bore a hole through them, but that's the only thing I can do. The Alps are still there. I can ski down them. But I sort of felt like prayer and fasting, we can handle some mountains. And these mountains were like this boy. He was addicted. Something was wrong with him. And these are mountains here, in case you didn't understand that. These are mountains of addictions. And we've heard from Sheriff Clark about some mountains of addiction that have to be handled from a legal standpoint. We have to be aware of that. But we have something that can help them. And then we have behavioral addictions, marital problems. We have idle problems. We have problems with money, too much, too little, gambling, pornography, adultery. Now we have things from the electronic media, social media, fear of missing out. They spend time on these electronic addictions, enough so that they'll go to gaming problems. And there are parlors now for gaming that are very addictive. People will spend hours upon hours, money upon money, and they forget their relationships and they become problems. Now, what do we know about all of this in medicine? And that's what this little problem here is. Now, this is the brain right here, and this is the midbrain. Now, that's the most primitive brain that we have. Insects have a midbrain. And what does that midbrain do? Well, that midbrain is basically to support life. Their whole function is to live and eat and procreate. Okay, that's the midbrain. Now, there are a bunch of little centers in here that help drive this. You've all heard about the world out here on the side and the five senses. You know, ears, eyes, nose, taste, feel, and all of that. And that stimulates the midbrain, if I could ever go over here, the midbrain. And that sets off a whole cascade of chemical reactions. Dopamine is the main reaction. Now, we don't know what kind of dopamine drives which ones, but we know that that happens. Well, the dopamine starts here, and it goes up to the motor cortex, which is the next part of development. And it sort of tells people, so you're hungry? Well, go out there and kill something and eat it. Or make you a big garden, and you have that. Those are healthy things. But maybe it's telling you to go rob a bank because there's money there. And then it tells you to go take it away from somebody else. And this is the sort of the herd instinct of people. But then for those of us who have frontal lobes, and that's most of the humans, the frontal lobe is the lobe which moderates some of this activity, the bad activity. So it tells all the rest of the activity, settle down now. You don't need to rob that bank. You don't need to take something away from somebody. You don't need to covet the fact that they have a bigger car than you have. You don't need to pay attention to these models which are showing you that you're healthy and you desire to do that. So accompanies to lust. Well, you can overcome that. And sometimes it'll depress this, and that leads to these behaviors. And now in Celebrate Recovery, they're saying, we'll take this 12-step program and turn it on its head. You have the higher power, but we say you recognize that higher power. That higher power is Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit that lives within you right here. And through prayer and fasting, you're able to take care of these hurts, hang-ups, and habits. And what are some of the hurts? You know, it could be divorce. It could be family problems that can lead to resentment, not measuring up. And it can lead to anger. It can lead to continued work over and above everything else and to electronic devices. So what can we offer as a congregation here? We can help take care of these addictions by helping our legal people, helping our people in behavior. They have all programs that help people with this, but we can tell them, after we're helping them, can we partner with you to see if we can't help you even further to let these people know that their hope is in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We need to step up to the plate. Thank you very much.